Matthew 13, just for a few moments. And because what we're going to do over these next few weeks, you know, we've been looking ahead at the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And we wanted to make sure that the kids were a part of that this morning, which is why we've done what we've done. But as we step through these next few weeks, I just believe that God's going to, for some of us, he's going to remind us of things. Some of us are going to see things for the first time. But there's going to be, if we allow it, a realignment of some of the things that we have in our lives that perhaps need a bit of tweaking. And I believe that God is on our case at this time. I'm just going to read a bit out of Matthew 13, and I read it in a number of different translations. The one that I really found helpful was actually the Message. So if you haven't got the Message, you feel free to follow along, but obviously it doesn't always quite line up. So it says this: at about that same time, Jesus left the house, sat on the beach. In no time at all, a crowd gathered along the shoreline, forcing him to get into a boat. Using the boat as a pulpit, he addressed his congregation, telling stories. What do you make of this? A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the ground, on the road. Birds ate it. Some fell in gravel, sprouted quickly, but didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds. As it came up, it was strangled by the weeds. Some fell on good earth and produced a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. Are you listening to this? Really listening? The disciples came up and asked him, "Why do you tell stories?" Jesus replied, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people toward receptive insight. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it. Listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again. Your eyes are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are blockheads." I'm sure that's just a literal translation. "They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look, so they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. But you have God-blessed eyes, eyes that see, and God-blessed ears, ears that hear. A lot of people, prophets and humble believers among them, would have given anything to see what you're seeing, to hear what you're hearing, but never had the chance." And one of the reasons I like this is because of the blockheads. It kind of jumps out and hits you. And this must have been one of the times as Jesus was explaining stuff to the disciples, where you can imagine Jesus, if he's going to do a preemptive thing, he's going to say, "Okay, guys, here's one of the Jesus challenges," sort of whacks them straight between the eyes and says that, you know, you've got ears, but sometimes you don't hear anything. You've got eyes, but sometimes you don't even see it. And I don't know about you, but there's times as when I see things or I hear things that I've not seen or heard before in the Bible. As I'm reading stuff, suddenly I find that there's things that I hadn't seen and I hadn't heard before. And as I was thinking about the kingdom of heaven this morning, a lot of us are very familiar with the stories. A lot of us are very familiar with the things that Jesus said. And yet, in this season, what I really believe is that God is going to do something amongst us that opens our eyes again, opens our ears again, even for the things that are familiar. I guess what I'd like to do this morning, if I may, is take a Jesus challenge and say, "Look, Ashwood, let's not be blockheads." I'm not suggesting that we are, but it's very easy, isn't it, to put ourselves in that position where we don't hear the things that Jesus is trying to say to us, because we're sometimes so familiar. Let me just finish this off, and we'll draw to a conclusion. Study this, Jesus said this, "Study the story of the farmer planted seed. When anyone hears news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, just remains on the surface, and so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of the person's heart. This is the seed the farmer scatters on the road. the seed cast in the gravel, this is the person who hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm. But there's no soil of character. And so when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there is nothing to show for it. And I think one of the things that that God is doing and has been doing, and it's actually come through this morning as we've worshipped God and we've shared some stuff together. God seems to be on our case in terms of reminding us that we need to have roots so that when the emotions wear off, difficulty arrives, there is something to show for it. And I believe that in these days, as we work through some of this stuff together, that God is saying to us, Ashwood, stronger roots. It's time to go deeper. It's time to have deeper, stronger roots so that as we take hold of the things that God is saying and doing within us, there is something to show for it. And then finally, the seed cast into the weeds is the person who hears the kingdom news, but weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangle what was heard, and nothing comes of it. The seed cast on good earth is the person who hears, takes in the news, and then produces a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. And as I read this during the week this morning, I don't know about you, but when I hear this story of that Jesus told about the seeds, I'm always waiting for the last example, because I'm quite keen to remember that that's me. So I'm, you know, talk about the others first, and then Jesus talks about the seed that's on good earth. Person takes it in, hears the news, and produces a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. And I don't know about you, but that's the box that I normally like to tick. But as I'm reading the other ones, it's so easy for me, and I suggest sometimes for us, to become part of the other seeds. And so this morning, I just want to suggest, to challenge, to encourage us, to make sure that we are in category number 4. Because there will be times when difficulties come, the initial enthusiasm, and the emotions will wear off, and we need to be people with deep, strong roots, and there will be times when weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangle what was heard. One of the things we'll talk about in the next few weeks is the difference between the kingdom of this earth and the kingdom of God. And anyone who's got a TV, there's plenty of examples that aren't particularly helpful from a kingdom of God point of view, are they? I've not seen recently too many kingdom adverts, have you? Most of the adverts, well, to be honest, it's one of the things that I'm grateful for about fast forward TV, because it means I watch a lot less adverts. I try to avoid them altogether. But one of the things that you and I face every day is the challenge of the kingdom of this earth that's putting together a whole different set of core values. And I don't know about you, but most of the time I think I'm okay with it. But it's when I read something like this that just lines me up. And I'll give you an example, because I was aware one morning I was preparing to go to work, and I always allow plenty of time, I'd done the various things that I needed to do to get ready, and I just thought I'll just do a quick time check. So I looked at my watch and I thought, that's good, I've got plenty of time this morning. But I walked into the kitchen, looked at the kitchen clock, which was very different to my watch, and thought, crikey, I haven't got any time left. I am now late officially. And I must have gone upstairs, because then I looked at another clock, which told me a third different time. And at that point, I thought, I'm in trouble here. I've got three different possibilities of what the time might be. And I did what we all should do, faced with this circumstance. I went back to the BBC, because the BBC, as we know, is 100% reliable, at least on time. And And it just I reset and recalibrated some of my other clocks so that I had one time then. We had one time that we were working to. It was less confusing. Everything was suddenly more aligned. I can't remember whether the real time meant that I was early, late, or option C. I can't actually remember. But as I was contemplating that, it just reminded me that actually, if we're not careful, there might be just things that are only a fraction out in our lives, and yet we need to allow ourselves to come back to, I had a good acronym for what BBC would be, Bible-based Christianity. Yeah, it was calibration, Bible-based calibration. So that's the BBC that we obviously want to set ourselves by, so that we are aligned with the Bible-based calibration, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God in our lives, so that our roots go deep in the right place. And, you know, some of those clocks only needed a small tweak, and then we're back on track again. But how many of you know that when there's something that isn't quite aligned, things just don't quite work? Things just don't quite make the same sense that they should do in our lives. And one of the challenges that we often hear talked about is our carbon footprint. And I'm not the carbon footprint expert, and I won't be talking to you about it this morning. But what I heard someone say, and I really liked it, was as well as trying to improve our carbon footprint, what would it look like if we tried to improve our kingdom footprint? Because, you know, you and I make a difference, and we are influenced as well by the kingdom of God. And I liked the idea that as we unpack some stuff in these coming weeks and months, that one of the things that we do is we hopefully align ourselves, recalibrate ourselves, that we actually begin to look at what our kingdom footprint might look like. So that's really what I wanted to say this morning. I wonder if we could just pray for a moment. If you're with me, then you can, amen. And then Jill, if you want to just do that thing after, yeah. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's timeless. Thank you that it's living. Thank you that it's a light to our paths. And I just want to pray, Father, this morning that you would help us to be the seed which has good roots. I want to pray that you would be the seed which help us to be the seed which hears what you're saying, causes quickly to respond. Father, we thank you for your kingdom. We thank you that it's a growing kingdom. Thank you that it's a kingdom that affects us and our world. And Lord, I pray that you would cause us to have eyes that really see and ears that really hear the things that you're doing and the things that you're saying to us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.